to be here for the finals. Then I'm coming.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
With this little Lodi, his little son. And then when I come back from there, I'll give you a bunch.
You were on there, you just chat amongst yourselves there. You chat over the music, which is on talk now, but people like the music. We're going to get back right to where we started from.
You've been doing it for 4 years and you've screwed it up.
Oh, the music's shit, is it, Don?
You're shit.
Thank you, Max. Well, now, we've had a number of people come in. Not a number, Phoebe, but we've had... Where's your microphone?
I'll just speak loudly.
No, you come over here. You take that. We've had a number of people come in. Get a stool there. Over, get the stool. We've had a number of people come in twice, Don, you know, very important people, and this is another person that's come in twice, maybe three times he's been in. He was the ex-premier of this once great state. He'll probably say it still is great. It is still great, except it's being run by clowns at the minute. He mightn't even want to go on with that. And he's, I think, still the president... I'm not sure about this. Still the president of the Hawthorn Football Club. I'm not even sure about that. But I've got a feeling an olive branch has been extended to your good self, Don, because there's been a battle between egos and wits here, because you've now been made and got a date set aside to be made a legend of the Hawthorn Football Club, which this man here beside me has been an integral part of. Whether you like it or not, he's been very successful and helped run the club and make it the success it is. And he is the ex-premier, Jeff Kennett. How are you, Jeff? Thanks for coming in.
Great pleasure, Sam. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Fee. Good morning, all.
And be pleasant, please, Don. Be affable. You don't have to be affable to me. Be affable to our guest, because you are, when it's all said and done, after the same cause.
We'll be affable.
Hello, Don. Are you happy to see?
Ecstatic.
So, just before we get on to anything else that we wanted to chat about.
What about football? Yes.
Well, this is about
plenty.
Football.
Right, good.
So, Don has given us a date, 18th of September, when he's condescended. He's condescended to... I've been invited to go...
Good.
Phoebe hasn't. It's men only, apparently. To go out to Waverley, to be inducted into whatever. How hard has this been to get him to come to the line to actually honour him, who probably saved the club back when it wanted to merge with Melbourne?
Well, he did save the club, together with a lot of very irate members. It has taken time, but life's all about where you get to. It's all about the outcomes. Often it's not so much about the struggle, but it's getting there. And you know what's so... ironic about Don's public event, if I can put it that way. I won't be here. I'll be overseas. So here we are for years and years and years.
Cop that.
I will be overseas. I can't believe.
Well, you've never been to a life members function anyway.
You
tell me the last life.
I can't even remember.
That's right. Never been.
I can't remember what I did yesterday, Don, let alone a life member. But anyway, look, it's coming about.
Have you
about
ever been to a life member's function?
I don't think so.
All right. What does that matter, Don?
It's a very special event.
It might be only just for the life members who played. I don't know.
So what are we starting with, football?
No. Do you,
because I want to cover politics as well.
Just a minute, please. Do you like me taking your voice off? Do you reckon I do it well?
No, not very well.
Well, I'm going to do it again now. No. Hello, Jeff. It's nice to see you. Now, Don, I won't be here for your inauguration out at Waverley. I don't know. I decided that I wouldn't come, and I'm going overseas with the bride, and I don't want to be part of it because you've given me the shits for a long time now. Do you reckon that sounds like you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Well, what about giving Don as a reply?
Yes, Don. Well, what do you think about that?
No, that he's asking you to do the voice as well.
Oh, I see. I don't give a stuff. I couldn't give a bug. I'm not even interested. No, I should have taken the horses. You should be there because you're an integral. No, I don't know why you're doing it.
Sounds like Dad and Dave.
That's going to be great. You do them, not do you.
Where do you want to start? With football?
Yes.
Well, you've got to say, we're going to have a very exciting conclusion to the year, don't you think?
Who gives a rat's toe?
He's back into form.
No.
Why have we got a break of a week?
I think it's going to be a very exciting final series.
Why have we got a break?
What?
Why do we have a week down?
Oh, I don't agree with that.
It's two separate questions.
Why?
Hang on.
I don't
either. There. We can't change it, so we move on.
Yes, we can. We can have the people who run the competition say, this is bullshit.
I think we're in for a very exciting final series. And I think Melbourne is perhaps, on their day, the most talented team. But I got to say to you, I like Geelong's persistence, but I like Collingwood's tenacity in the last few weeks. And I can see, I have a feeling in my bones that the grand final or a game against Geelong and Collingwood will be a bit similar, Don, to the 89 grand final. I think it'll be very, very tough. If those two get through, I think it'll be one of the toughest games we've seen under the new rules, which are fundamentally contactless.
Well done. Really? I was just going to say for ladies, but you said contactless, so far more tough.
So mathematically, but Geelong and Collingwood, no matter what happens in any of the results, can play in the grand final, can they?
I would like Brisbane and the Lions to win, but for the coach, but I think they've come off the boil a bit. I don't think Western Bulldogs will get there, unfortunately. Sydney are doing well, but I just think and I don't think, for some reason, I don't think Richmond will get to the final game. They may. So I think it's down to Melbourne, Geelong and Collingwood. And it'll be
Sydney,
interesting.
No.
Anything can happen.
You make Sydney, an interesting...
No.
What?
Sydney, no?
The what, sorry?
Sydney.
Yeah, I mentioned Sydney. I think they're very good. But I just don't know if on their day...
Need your ex-man
they're as
to
tough
fire.
As Collingwood at the moment. And... as I said, I think Melbourne, I've seen some wonderfully skillful games from Melbourne this year, brilliantly skillful, but I actually think on the day you're going to have to be tough.
Needs your ex-player to fire for Sydney, doesn't it?
Yes, well, I'd like to see Buddy do well, obviously, but one person doesn't win a...
Nearly.
Nor does one coach, as we have discussed in the past.
Jeff, you said you made an interesting point, and this is our, to the much chagrin of most of the people who have played in the past, and we shouldn't live in the past. You said this contactless sport that we are playing now, they've almost thrown the baby out with the bathwater.
It's a very different game. It's probably correct because we're more aware of health issues than we've ever been before.
Oh,
but I've got to say, come on. The only grand final I have ever rewatched. Replay is the 89 grand final. I've never watched another in full. That, to me, was the epitome of a grand final. It was tough, it was brilliant, it was close. Gary Ablett, what was it, 9 goals, best on field, and we won the premiership. A wonderful outcome.
Jeffrey, have you fixed the leaks up on the board at Hawthorn?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but how come it came out, it's out about your golf shot?
How'd it come out?
Tell people what you're talking about.
Well, it was discussed at board level. I believe that your golf shot, they couldn't shut you up, and a leak has occurred at the board, and consequently it's got
Don,
out at the last board meeting.
Could you tell us what you're speaking about, mate? No, I'm one interested in the
I'm
story.
I'm interested in his
golf
shot.
What are you talking about?
I actually wrote about it in a Herald Sun article last week. So it's not new news.
Oh, and I thought it was.
We were down at Barn Boogle before the last game of the round against the Western
You're
Bulldogs.
You're explaining it, thank you.
And the day before we went and had a game of golf. I'm not in a condition to play much golf at the moment, but we played on the par 3 course. There's 2 par 4s, so let me tell you about this shot.
Why aren't you in
a hit. I was crippled. I was walking the course, could hardly walk. After 2 holes, I thought I wasn't going to be able to go on, but that's not the manly thing to do, so I kept playing. I got to this 8th hole, par 4, hit my drive into the bunker on the right. I got to the bunker, crippled. I stepped into the stand, got my sand iron, thought, no, I've got to hit the ball. So I got a forward, borrowed clubs, never used it before. I put my feet strongly into the sand. And as I approached the ball, I felt a greater force reach down and lift me up to my full height. And then somehow I swung this club, Donald, and the ball left the club. It went out. It was as though it was in slow motion. It went up over the lip of the bunker and like a missile headed towards the green and landed on the green. It must have been 200. Maybe with the story it was 400 metres. I'm not quite sure. It was the one golf shot. If I never play another game of golf again, it's the one golf shot I will never, ever forget.
Do you call that arse, class?
Absolutely. Or I'd like to call it arse, a class, but it was probably arse. But you know what's interesting? One of my board members, you would know him well, Richie Vandenberg, sent me the next day another shot of Cam Smith, the Australian golfer, playing over in America, and he hit a very, very similar shot. The only difference is I think Cam will probably go to the Greg Norman tour and get $100 million. All I got is a memory, but it was well worth it.
Does
that answer your question, Donald?
Yeah,
and look,
does.
He's smiling. Look at this. He's actually smiling.
Can you help me with something? Because the boys had lunch. We got together for a meal last week, and we're talking about the gym at Hawthorne. And apparently it's well set up. I haven't seen it, but they said the pictures up there of past Hawthorne greats and whatever else, and which is terrific. But there's a picture of a woman. Can you tell me who the woman is in amongst all these greats at Hawthorne?
No, I can't. I can't say it. I've been down on the gymnasium floor for a while, mainly for COVID reasons. We haven't been able to go down there. I will find out and let you know, though. It might be, for instance, Beck Goddard, who's the coach of our AFLW team. I'm just speculating. It might be our captain of the team. It's not of Felicity or anyone else that I know closely, but I will find out and get back
to you. So they warrant being up with all these other past champions.
Yes, of course, because we are now a...
Inclusive
club.
Diverse.
We have two female teams. You probably haven't heard of them, the VFLW team and the AFLW team. We've actually had our female team, AFLW, train with our men's team on a couple of occasions.
Oh, fantastic.
So, Don... Things have changed a bit since 1971, Donald.
We all
you've got a warrant being hung up there amongst these other people. I'm not begrudging if you're qualified,
teams
only just started this year. They've played one game and you've got someone hanging up there amongst the greats.
Let me find out who it is and we'll get back to
that. And are they all showering in the same change areas, when the men and the women train together?
Come on.
Is there
inclusive?
Look, sorry. Shall we move on to something more?
No,
they're not all showering together,
aren't they? Well,
No.
This is diversity and equity.
In normal times, they don't train together. So we've just started the AFLW season, as you know. Our men are all travelling on holidays, on break, so they're not together.
Get run a raffle. The nearest correct entry wins. Now, listen, Jeff. Jeff, listen. Don, I don't know if you want to mention this, but Don brought up last week about government grants.
No, I'm not mentioning it.
You brought up last week that Hawthorne were the only side that hadn't received $15 million in grants for the Victorian sides given by the Andrews Labor government.
Well, what I was reporting on was an article or... a thing by, what's his name, James Molino, who was substituting for Dan Andrews when he was sick. And I was interested because prior to that, Andrews had awarded money to various...
To all the clubs.
In Melbourne.
Melbourne-based clubs.
And Hawthorne was exempt.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Just let me go on. And then Molino gets in and he says, I think it was February, January when he took over, Hawthorne was going to get the money. And I understood it went through the budget... And I'm inquiring, and from my investigation is Hawthorne haven't received that money.
Can I ask you this? Have you been ostracised, Hawthorne, from getting $15 million grant from the Victorian Labor government because of your political persuasion?
It has been designated, $15 million, so you are correct, Don. The government has designated the $15
million. All the other clubs got it?
For the... development of the Kennedy Community Centre at Dingley, but it hasn't been finally moved to the point where it has been
paid. But all the other Melbourne-based clubs have received it.
All the other clubs that have received money from the government have received theirs.
Do you find that odd?
I find it disappointing.
Yeah, so this is a political... This is a political ostracisation because of your persuasion.
I find it disappointing... that
it's a disgrace.
I find it disappointing because the Hawthorn Football Club has generated about 60 million of our own monies. And that's come from selling the two gaming venues recently. So we are putting in 60 million. I don't think there's any other club that has raised so much of their own money to maximise the value of the government's money. So most other organisations get gifts, but they don't have to put up as much as we're putting up in order to get maximum value from the public's money. So I am disappointed that it hasn't been transferred yet.
No, that is more than disappointing. That is political bias brought into a sporting arena for a pure selfish political reasons. Jeff? Because you are a liberal person?
No, it's not just that who I am. It's because I continue to make comments about the government based on
my
experience.
Well, that's fair enough.
I think
that's fair enough. Yeah, but hang on. In all fairness, the Liberals are bloody hopeless in Victoria. Let me finish. Oh. And last year in COVID, there was only two people that spoke up. One was Peter Credlin from Sky News. Had the guts to go in
and
in front of the press conference, and you writing in the Herald Sun. They were the only two dissenters in Victoria. And they can't get at Credlin because she works for an employer, but they can get at you.
I am disappointed. I am very disappointed. I'm very disappointed because for that community out there, it is a community centre. It's for the young men and young women, and it's for our AFLW team, it's for our senior team, and we are getting on with the process, but the government hasn't, and it's not the government. So we've spoken to James Foligno, we've spoken to all the people that matter, and they all say it will come, but it hasn't come.
That's condescending hypocrisy from, honestly, a small mind. That is a disgrace.
It is very disappointing. Now, they keep telling me, Martin Bakula and everyone else, that it's coming and we'll get it. I suspect it might come
after
I stand down as president, which is the 13th of December.
Why?
That is on the basis that the government wins the election.
Why hasn't more been made of this in the press? I don't give a stuff about you and your...
I've always thought you're a man of great potential.
I don't care. In any other circumstance, this is not a personal thing between you and I as a friend. That is just so off. It's unbelievable.
Typical. It is typical.
That is typical small-minded arrogance and pompousness of a man out of control.
The people who are suffering are the people of Dingley who are not getting the facilities and the Hawthorn Football Club.
Can we change the subject, please?
Yes, please.
Could I change it to a philosophical view that in my time... and you can maybe give me an explanation. In the old days, you had to be very, very wary of horse traders. Oh. Just shut up, Max, you're a kid. Two, as life went on, horses went out of business, you had to be careful of car salesmen, insurance salesmen, and now it's politicians. Why has their image gone to the lowest of lows that I can ever, ever remember? And it's on both sides of politics. It is the way they conduct themselves in the House, federally and at a state level. It is disgraceful.
Is that a statement or a question?
No, it's a question. I think politicians, sadly, have always rated lowly in the scale of personal popularity. I don't agree that all people and all politicians are at the lowest level, but there is this generalised view, and it's not helped by what's happening here in Victoria and has happened over the last few years because of the control and because of what's happened. But can I put a counterpoint? Right now, right, so here we are about to go into September, the federal government has started well. Now, so the Prime Minister has travelled a lot to build up relationships with overseas people. The Treasurer, I think, Jim Chalmers, has done a good job in terms of positioning the country prior to both the Jobs Summit and the budget, which will be handed down in October. Now, so they've started very well. So your generalised comment that everyone hates, no, politicians are badly thought of, I think the public support with the federal government is doing well, and that will change because you get to a peak in life, like a football club, you win three premierships and then you drop away a bit. So that might change, but I think they're doing fairly well. But when you submit communities to the sorts of things we've been submitted to over the last 8 years here in Victoria, but particularly the last two, where you and I have been restricted on where we move, where we're being told what to do the whole time, when you're being threatened, fined, etc., you lose confidence. And that's why, in part, people are leaving the state. It's why, in part, we have got huge... The buzz, in real terms, has gone out of Victoria, right? I had a senior public servant on the phone this morning, and he was saying the best times as a public service he'd ever had was in the 90s when we were doing things, when the place was alive, you had something to work for, hard work but good gain. People are fearful a little bit about what the future holds at the moment. So politicians have never been generally well thought of, but I think there are examples where from time to time they are. And right now, after a few months, May to September, I'm giving the federal government credit for doing what I think has been a good job.
I would put it to you, do you think it is social media? We're far more aware of what is going on because of social media, and consequently things are being uncovered or...
I think social media play a big part in it, because what you see with social media is not only the constructive comments, the uplifting comments, but you see so many of the destructive comments where people can make comment without having to declare who they are. And some of the stuff on social media is vile. It is absolutely soul-destroying. So that is a contributing factor. I think the other thing, Don, is we are seeing a change in the sense of personal responsibility. So young people today, as a generalisation, they're not worried about things like debt. They think government debt is government's debt. It's not their debt. So we're heading towards a debt here in Victoria of $200 billion, which is going to have to be paid for over time by the public. We'll never pay it off in your and my lifetime. We'll never pay it off in my children's lifetime or their grandchildren's. But what's happening is the interest on that debt is growing. So we're going to be approaching a situation shortly where we're paying Victorians, you and I, $8 billion a year in interest on the money we've borrowed, which is $8 billion, or maybe only six, that we could be spending on health, education, sporting fields, etc., etc. So social media is good in one sense, but it is also very destructive and soul-destroying.
What about the demarcation line between Liberal and Labor? I find it's very blurred. Now, growing up as a boy, there was a distinction between Labor. Their jobs, their professional, and there was kind of manual labor. There was a real distinction. Now, I can't see much between the Liberal and Labor and their voters because society has gone that way.
Maybe. I honestly think I have never in my lifetime seen a government like this government here in Victoria
ever.
At the moment, ever. I've never seen such a controlling...
corrupt
government that has been found out so many times. I think it's, from my side, I've always been financially conservative, publicly, privately, but I'm socially liberal. right? So I'm not opposed, as I get that you might be, of an AFLW team. I support it. I'm not opposed to building up greater respect for our Indigenous community. But I would never, ever, ever have cheated. I'd never have abused the public monies deliberately, right? So I can't believe that if there was a change of government, you wouldn't get a different sense of values being delivered by a different government. There has been no government in Australia that has been held to account so often as this government has and been found to be out of order.
Because the general media are on their side, they don't hold them accountable.
Yeah, the coming together might be more correct at a federal level, right, so that you have Labor, Liberal, Coalition, National Party, but it is absolutely miles apart here in Victoria.
But I see voters who vote Labor who would have voted Liberal in years gone by. Yeah, I go back to the type of work that's being done. We're screaming out for tradesmen and whatever else. Yeah. That's a small minority. It used to be a huge part of our society, the trade side, and consequently they backed the Labor Party. There was a real demarcation line.
Well, I tell you what, Don, I go around a lot of construction sites. So where I work in Richmond, there's a lot of building going on. And I speak to the construction workers. They are not pro Dan Andrews.
No, but they're forced to be union.
When they move into the polling booth, they will vote as they wish to vote.
Okay.
Which is why I think there is a chance of a change. Now, it'll be difficult, but Jeff, it's a chance.
But the public sector, like ambulance,
yes,
police, fire brigade, teachers, unions, they shore up because of the benefits and the entitlements, they shore up the government. They will vote for no other.
That is true in some sectors, but I'm just saying to you, there are a lot of those people who are really hurting and are having different experiences. Now, it's a big thing to bring about a change of government here in Victoria. It'll take 18 seats. When I won in 92, or my group did, we won 19 seats. So it is possible. But it's very, very difficult, partly because of what you say. But I just can't believe that a Victorian public would vote for a government, again, that has been found by independent bodies to be corrupt on a whole range of reasons. Because if they get back again, the government will be so vindictive.
The
they will be saying, they will say, look, everything we've done is acceptable to the the Victorian public, and therefore we can continue to do what we like. Now, I don't know how we can convince the public, but if the government itself has such low standards of behaviour, then where is the example being set for the rest of us?
So, Jeff.
And that's a real issue to me.
So, Jeff. So, the Leader of the Opposition, Matthew Guy, how about he must use this, he must be forceful in this. You've got to come out and say, this is what we stand for. Be a bit aggressive and angry. I mean, we've asked Matthew Guy indirectly to come on here, and he said, his little press secretary said, we didn't think it would be a good venue to come on. This would be a great venue to come on because we'd basically support him, but we'd like him to actually step to the plate and say, hey, this is a disgrace, like you've just said. How about he gets out front and does something?
Well, could I be a little more direct? Is Matthew Guy electable?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, why doesn't he make any cut through? At the moment, the Liberals just look like a complete and utter mess that are being derailed by internal rubbish.
No, that's one member of Parliament who's a real pain. But don't say he hasn't cut through. He did something pretty bold the other day. He said that we're not going to build for $170 billion dollars this underground railway loop. How are we ever going to pay for that?
And he also said we'll use that money for health, and so that money for the leak has got to be borrowed, so he's got to go and borrow more money for health.
Yeah, but Don, don't get excited. He won't have to borrow all that money. It'll only be a few. So what we've got to do is plateau the debt, right? We've got to stop growing it. If Labor were to get back and finish that loop and have to borrow another $120 billion, the debt will be through the roof. We will be a basket case. And the we are not like...
beholden to China.
No, we're not like... well, that's an outside thought. We are not like Western Australia.
Belt and Rail.
Queensland, New South Wales, who has access to royalties from coal and iron ore, etc. The only place the government gets its revenue here in real terms is from the service industries, from stamp duty, from land tax, etc. And they're all rising.
Fines.
And have a look at all the empty shops around Melbourne. Why are they empty? For two reasons. One, you can't get staff. But more importantly, the land tax on those buildings now is so high... the landlord tries to pass it on to the tenant can't afford it, and they close shop. That strangling of middle Victoria will continue if, in fact, we keep increasing that debt.
Do you see any similarities between your government in 99 and the Andrews government right now?
Yes, we were both in government. That's about the only thing.
Yeah, but you lost the unlosable. Yeah, yeah. Do you think that Andrews is on the same
path? I think there is every possibility. I think there's people out there waiting to take a baseball bat to this government because of how they've behaved and because of what's been found out about their behaving. Now, whether they get to 18 or 19 seats, I don't know. But I remind you, just one thing, if I may. In 1999, at the start of the at the conclusion of the election campaign, the last Monday before we voted, the Herald Sun had a story saying my government was going to improve its vote by 6%. I called the media together and I said, this article could result in we losing the election. Why? Because as we carried out our reforms and moved so fast, a lot of people thought we moved too fast so they could give us a kick in the pants, right? And that election, we won more seats than Labor. There were three independents and they went with Labor. We lost government. The opinion polls now are out there saying Labor's going to romp in. Well, I tell you what, I guarantee you there's a lot of people out there who'll be saying, uh-oh, no, we've got to put brakes on this government. We've got to stop them. And the same thing might happen. I'm not saying it will, but it might. I hope it happens because if it is elected, then everything that's been found out about them, the fact that the government accepts no responsibility for the failure in hotel quarantine that led to 800 yep. deaths, they'll put their hand up and say, well, the community supports us.
Yep.
Everything we did was right. And yep. the standards of misusing of public funds, of corruption, will all be seen to be acceptable. Well, Victoria is not a corrupt state. The Victorian public are not corrupt. The Victorian public... are decent, honest, hard-working people who just want to get on with their lives. And they expect of their government, Labor or Liberal, the highest standards possible. Now, that's not to say you can't make policy mistakes from time to time, of course. But that's very different from being caught out for being corrupt.
So is this
so are we going to talk about football?
No, I'm just going
to... No.
Football's the next... so this is... there might be a headline. Cannot... buoyant about change of government.
Well, I've always been buoyant because I believe the pendulum often swings.
Now, so it's extremely interesting, Jeff. Now, this is a referred question from Max, who's sitting beside me. Are you at peace and at one with Alistair Clarkson leaving the nest?
Oh, yes.
And taking all your money, and Don said... I don't know what Don said.
I said he played them on a break, played you blokes on a break.
I don't... well, I can understand you saying that. Unlike Lessenden, as you know...
excuse me.
As you know, we... Alistair came to us and said, I need to know about whether I'm going to be reappointed or not. We thought about it and we said, no, time's up. And... he agreed to that and he agreed to stay and see out his contract. Then he changed his mind. And from that point on, there was a whole lot of leaks, which was embarrassing to us. But I decided and the board decided we're not going to have a public brawl with Alistair. He's been a good servant of the club, and we will let him move on to his next career. So I had to wear a fair bit of...
Mighty nobly of you, Jeff.
Oh, well, it's life. I mean, it's...
Despite all the leaks and all the subterfuge... We did the right,
thing by Alistair, right? We responded to his request. We're very happy with what we've done. We're very pleased with Sam. Sam Mitchell is what I call a new age coach. What do I mean by that? He has had a lot of experience as a player. He's been a persistent player. He's had a coaching career. He's got very good family values. So he fits into the Hawthorn mould very well. And he trains and talks to the players differently. So have a look at what's happening at Collingwood. The coach there is what I call a new age coach. The idea of a coach being in your face the whole time, loud language, etc., etc., those days have gone.
Yeah.
It's a different era. So Sam has had a very good educational year this year with our players. I think we've performed very well. Next year I think we'll perform a bit better. From 2014 on, we'll be back in a competitive form for the next 10 years. So what Alistair does is entirely up to him, and I wish him well. Everyone's entitled to work.
You should get Don back down to the club. He's very conciliatory and doesn't shout at people and is a woke man. He's an awakened man.
And you're a bit the same. I saw the way you were having trouble with your computer earlier and how calm you were in trying to resolve the issue.
Now, can I ask you this question?
I'm glad you observed that. That's what I've got to put up with every...
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
One day this console's going to go through the window.
Yes, I can
ask
understand.
You this question. Were you bemused at the ridiculous premise that you were the reason Maurice Rioli packed up and went back to West... Cyril Rioli went back because of your... an aside about someone's ripped jeans that created the most ridiculous premise I've ever heard from anyone writing articles about anything, that was concocted into the reason that man left.
We didn't enter into a public debate then, out of respect.
Respect for Cyril, to what?
Cyril and his family.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do it now. I have...
But that was...
I was... The motivation, the accuracy of some of the, or the leading report was a disgrace, defamatory, and it was knowingly so. And it was very disappointing because...
Can I just add, you don't have to go any further, that was a political stunt, and I will say this without you saying it, because I will put you in the picture, because at that time there was a thing called the Nominations Committee. And last year there was a group called Hawks for Change, and it just coincided with a meeting that that the Nominations Committee had, that this story came out. And that is my view on what actually happened. Had the Nominations Committee not been around, that story would never have come out.
I don't think you're quite right with your timing, but I don't think that was the motivation. The motivation was political.
Well, that's political.
Absolutely political. So it wasn't political for the faceless people of the Hawks for Change. It was political because, again, of my continuing commentary about the condition of the government. And there were...
You think so?
I know so. I know
you,
so.
That is a big call from you.
I know so. I know so. But look, I do know so.
So.
And that's what has driven... the people behind the Hawks for Change.
So,
and it's only two or three of them. I mean,
I know that because I looked at that Facebook page and blokes that I played with are Labor oriented. I'm not into political. Hey, listen, I'm critical of you voicing
off. Well, you shouldn't be critical. I've just made you a bloody legend.
Voicing off as president of the football club with regard to, you know, the COVID thing. So I'm critical of you of that because you divided the team. But I'm also critical of that Hawks for Change because I saw the list of names published and those guys that I played with are Labor and the people involved in it are Labor, and it was a political orchestration. Sorry,
again, I just want to correct the record. Not all of them are Labor at all.
Really?
They're not. But there are a number of people who were asked to join it for an outcome, but the people who were driving it were either one of them's within government, some of them have been within
That's
government.
That's right.
And look, it is what it is, but go back to where we started. It's
Jeff.
The article
was a disgrace.
Was an absolute journalistic disgrace.
Which
tried to perpetrate me as being racist.
Yes,
when you wouldn't find.
Well, I mean, you do, don't you? Do I've been to your place. You've got Aboriginal painting sculpture.
I've been working with the Aboriginal community.
Doing something
This is why it's a contrived. This is.
I know. All
and if you know the person that did it, just writing to form. Now, you, there's only a few words I hang on that you say, but you mentioned that it was defamatory. Would you think of taking some legal action about that? Have they defamed you beyond recall?
Again, in the interest of the club, I decided to take no action.
Well, when you're out of the club.
No, let me finish. And also, out of respect for what I know about Cyril and his wife, right? So out of respect, we didn't want any pressure put on them. Suffice to say...
No, but taking action against the person who wrote it.
I've made a decision, and that's where it is at the moment. All right?
Right, okay. So now can I ask you a football question, Don?
Oh, yes.
Would you vote, or I believe you probably wouldn't have voted, or if it has come to a vote, for Hawthorn to play out of Tasmania?
No, I would not transfer Hawthorn down to Tassie. Okay. I wouldn't do that because we have invested so much in the community centre yes. out at Dingley.
Okay.
We will be the only club in the league that owns its own land and its own facility. Okay. The only club.
But by the same token, the Tasmanian government have invested a hell of a lot of money in Hawthorn to keep it afloat or on its feet to shore up its coffers?
The Tasmanian government provides Hawthorn and North Melbourne with funding, right? Our funding is divided between sponsorship, right, promoting Tasmania. So we are the Tassie Hawks and we've been doing that for 20 years. We also get a payment for playing games down there. So we get about $4 million a year, North Melbourne around the same figure.
Wow.
We bring into Tasmania on the government's own reckoning of a piece of work they did a few years ago, $39 million a year in cash, people coming in, and about $12 million in promotion. It is the best investment in the league where a sponsorship is involved because you can actually test and get a result of what is it. So they spend $8 million. We give them a totality every year of about $50 million in value. There is no sponsorship like that anywhere else.
So you owe them nothing, the Tasmanian government?
Oh, we owe them respect and we've looked after their community well. We're down there the whole time and we love the arrangement. It's fantastic. We love being part of Tasmania. But we bring them value, multiples of what they pay us, right? Not a little bit, multiples. And that's particularly important for the north of Tasmania, which is where we play our games, Launceston.
Now, you brought up a point you just touched on, but I picked up on it. What is the point of a club being viable and in a profitable situation in the AFL? And I go back to the COVID thing where clubs that were profitable had to kind of survive, yet the others were out getting a handout from the AFL. Is it in business, I cannot see the reason why a club would try and be profitable when it's always going to be propped up. So what's the point of Hawthorn making a profit and having all these assets?
Because, Don, from a board position, you have a responsibility in terms of governance. And it is my view that while the product is football and aiming for a football premiership, You're charged as a director with the same responsibilities that the head of a board of BHP would. And you've got to make sure you run that business as well as profit. And if you do not have a strong business, the chance of you delivering a premiership is very much reduced, right? So we run our business as well as we can. We have people on our board who have portfolio responsibilities, and they're very, very good people. And so what's the point? The point is that we are able to control our own affairs a little better than a club that has to rely consistently on subsidies to survive.
Okay, what about the clubs getting together and getting back their colours and their... what else do they own? The emblem that the AFL own. So you've at least sole entities.
Yes, I don't think we can do that. The reason I say that, when we transferred the role of administering the code to the AFL, what was then the commission and is the commission, we gave up a whole lot of rights in order that they would run the code. The only rights that we have now as presidents in real terms, we technically can elect people to the commission. Well, that doesn't work very well because the commission appoints their own. But secondly, we have a right on the question of an enlarged competition. So the AFL will give to the president shortly a business case that they and Tasmania have put together for us to consider. We will take it. Jeff Kennett will get the report. I will take it to my board. My board will assess whether that is a good business case proposition or not. Not one just based on emotion, but whether it is sustainable, and then we'll all be called back together again to decide whether there'll be a 19th team or not.
Finally, Don, Max, Phoebe. I'm not here. What? Providing the players don't get seasick going up the Yarra River to the grand final parade, do you think this is a great idea, a step forward, that we're all going to get on boats and sail up the river like a jamboree and people are going to hang off the banks and look at us? Or
as you know, I'm always happy to try something that doesn't injure anyone. So I'm happy for it to be tried. I have two comments about it, though. One is, the public are going to be so far away
that's my
from
point.
The players.
Yep.
I don't know whether there's going to be that.
That's right. You won't be able to clap hands or rub hands with
you
them.
You won't have that personal connect, which I think is often. And the other thing that worries me, and I'm sure it wouldn't happen in Melbourne, what happens if it rains? I mean, at least when it rains and you're driving down a road, everyone can have their umbrellas and their clothes and everything else. But if it's a bad weather day...
No, they'll be all in the undercover on the boats, on the rafts, no one will see them.
Having said that, I am prepared to give it a try.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Now, seeing that you're winding up, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Who's your barber?
What's wrong with Roy? Yeah.
Who's your...
You're a very good man called Daniel.
Is that a particular style you're wearing today, or is that...
Well, this is Jeff, if you'll appreciate. We do a little video at the end. People can have a look at my hair, but this is not a visual medium. This is audio.
You're not
looking that sharp yourself. So we will do a little... people can have a look at my hair when we finish. Now, Jeff, could I say this?
Yes.
Don, have we covered some ground? We've covered...
It's been a good interview.
You've been fantastic. You've covered contactless AFL. You've covered Tasmania. You've covered the government. You've covered Clarkson, AFL finals. You've covered... you've given an olive branch to Don. You've did the disgraceful article about Rioli. You've spoken about Matthew Guy, the $15 million you haven't been given. You have been my voice, and what do you think of that, and my hairstyle. You have been fantastic today, and we really appreciate you, Jeff, coming in, don't we, Phoebe?
Absolutely, Sam.
You're not on. Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. You did, and Don, well done, Don. You too, I've never... You've become the very best friends.
I was just going to say... But I won't, Fiona.
No, say it.
Very best friends you've become.
No, we are good friends. We've got a public sort
Don,
of play
say
here.
Something nice about him.
See ya.
Oh. Right. Jeff, thanks very much for coming on to You Cannot Be Serious.
I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.